a few years ago, the American screenwriter John Ridley was working in Britain. He learned a bit of history that was new to him, yet felt familiar. It was the story of a time in the 1970s when Britain struggled with that American-sounding question, who are we?
There came a point where there was issues of immigration and who was really British and who belonged in this country. All of those things that were embedded, things that I was completely unaware of.
John Ridley has now written and directed a Showtime series about that moment. It's the story of a time when Britain welcomed immigrants of color from former colonies to work, but did not give them many opportunities. One scene shows a well-educated black man talking, we think, to a white man at an employment office about getting a teaching job.
I'd be very interested in placement in university education. Not that I wouldn't consider something at a secondary school, but I think I'd have
more
to offer
students. You have a license?
I have a degree in...
Do you have a driving license? I could get you something in transport straight away. Now, if you can't drive, there's a desperate need for porters, but you seem like one of the smart ones, and I'd like to get you something good. Can you drive then?
This man and others gradually turn toward violent solutions. By the end of the first episode, they've broken a radical black leader out of prison, which is why the show is called Guerrilla. John Ridley is the screenwriter of 12 Years a Slave. Now he's created a series about a black man and an Indian woman, both immigrants to a white society. There is a reason that Ridley shows the teacher humiliated at that employment agency desk.
One of the things that was very important to us, frankly, was to not do a show about crazy people of color grabbing guns and to show people who have struggled as best they could to be part of the system, to contribute, to have value. But unfortunately, in our country, in America, and in the UK at that time period, there were lines that were drawn. People were not interested in what you could potentially do. They were only interested in what they thought one could do.
The man behind the desk, I said he's a white man. I guess we don't literally know that. We never even see him. We just hear his voice.
Yeah. Part of, for me, the language of cinema is to take the opposition and in some ways reduce who they are. Sometimes the opposition that some of us face, all of us face in some ways, in different ways, you know, is faceless. It's systemic. And everybody faces that system in different ways based on, you know, it could be race, could be class, could be faith, it could be orientation. But there's moments where you're sitting somewhere trying to participate and the person on the other end, they can't see you.
So he ends up responding by going to extremes. And let's play a little bit more of this. He's talking with his partner, Jazz, and they are discussing whether to begin committing violent acts. Let's listen.
I'm not afraid of prison, are you?
You don't get to shame me into doing something mental, Jazz.
All the speeches, the empty rhetoric, they do nothing. They do nothing. We need to do something.
What did you do to get into the frame of mind of someone who ends up committing violence?
It was difficult because for me, I don't think violence is a solution. I don't think it's an answer, but I think we see time and time again that when real, positive, long-term solutions are not presented to people, there are individuals who will turn to violent acts. What was very important, and is, I think what was represented in that scene, it wasn't a sudden jump. It wasn't as though these two individuals woke up and said, we're going to do this. And she is a nurse. You know, she is a person who wants to, her objective is to care for people. So how do you get from a space where that's your drive as a person to care, to a space where you feel like the only thing you can do is pick up arms against the empire?
In writing about immigration and race in a different place and time, did you intend to comment on the United States right now?
No, this story, honestly, it was something that was fascinating to me when I was a kid. It was something that I felt deserved further exploration as I got older. It was a project that I started working on in earnest almost 10 years ago. And despite the fact that the setting was more than 40 years ago, there are elements that people can draw a direct parallel to between what happened then and what happened now. That's without any effort. And that tells me there is a problem with our current set of circumstances when immigration, when demonization, when marginalization is still the norm.
What is the problem?
Listen, people who are far smarter, sharper, shrewder than I am, very seriously, look, immigration, there are true, legitimate issues with how we deal with how people travel between nations and seek out an other, different, better life for themselves. That's the history of the world. But the prevailing culture often find ways of saying that's wrong, you're wrong, and as I say, demonize those individuals.
You constantly dig into heavy subjects. Does it drag you down?
It does. I mean, I can't lie to you. I try to make it less about me, and I try to make it more about other people and their lives and their experiences, and you end up realizing that you're carrying around a lot of things that other people have trusted you with, and that you have an obligation to try to get it right. But at the same time, I've been blessed. I've been truly blessed with having the opportunity to put stories into the culture that other people seem to either actively ignore or be afraid to speak to. Compared to what other people do or compared to what my parents did so that I may do this, it's pretty easy.
John Ridley, it's been a pleasure talking with you again.
Steve, thank you very much, as always.
John Ridley is the writer behind the new miniseries Guerrilla. The first episode appears on Showtime this Sunday night.